So we're doing Parashat Shoftim. We're holding the 17th chapter, the first pasuk. The Torah tells us a prohibition now. Lo tizbach l'Adonai Eloheicha shov aseh asher yevo mum kol davar ra. Do not sacrifice before Hashem your God an ox or a sheep, which is the generic term for any animal for a sacrifice. Whenever we say shor vaseh, we really mean all domesticated animals. Yeah. Asher yevo mum, that has a blemish, kol davar ra, or anything that's bad about it. Ki to'avat Adonai Eloheicha hu, for it is a disgusting thing before Hashem your God. And Rashi explains, Lo tizbach kol davara, he quotes from the Sifri, that this is azara, a warning, lemfagel bekodashim al yedei dibura. This is a warning for someone who ruins the sacrifice by saying something wrong. What does it mean saying something wrong? So this is the concept of pigo. Pigo is really ruining. How do you ruin? Pigo is by saying, this sacrifice is supposed to be eaten, let's say, within the courtyard. I'm going to eat it outside the courtyard. This sacrifice has to be eaten for one day. I'll eat it the second day. The second a person says he's going to do either chutz lizmano, outside of the time that he's allowed to bring the sacrifice, or chutz limkomo, outside of the place that he's allowed to bring the sacrifice, that is called pigul. He disqualified the korban. Now, pigul is the kohen is performing the korban. He's supposed to think the correct thoughts. So, davar ra, whenever we have the word davar in the Torah, so davar could mean a thing, and often our sages will derive from it that it refers to dibur, to speech.
Outside the time
or outside the place. Either beyond the time that's permitted to be eaten, or outside the parameters of where it's supposed to be eaten. No sacrifice may be eaten outside of Jerusalem. Some sacrifices must be eaten within the temple. So let's say a person says, I'm going to eat it. Wrong place. I'll eat it outside. A person, as he's sacrificing it, he says, maybe I'll bring, you know what, I'll bring some home for my father-in-law. I'll go out.
That's the term pigul.
Pigul is to taint. Okay, yeah. The od nidoshu bo shar doshot b'shlitat chodashim, and the Gemara in Zvachim derives other things from this verse. Now, we derive many things from this. To'avat Hashem lokecha, it's disgusting for Hashem. If a person sets aside the animal for idol worship, it's prohibited. If he's setting it aside for animism, so when a person lives with an animal, it's animism, it's
called?
Bestiality. How do you pronounce it?
Bestiality.
Right, okay. So that's if the animal either played the male role or the female role, it cannot be used. Let's say the animal was given as a gift for a prostitute, cannot be used. Let's say the animal was mated.
This is halacha.
Yeah, this is all derived from this. Anything that's disgusting that the Torah says, to'avat Hashem, these are things that the Torah says about them, they are to'eva, they are disgusting. Anything that the Torah uses the word that they're disgusting for Hashem, disqualifies the animal if it was done with that animal. So, now, we have a very nice concept here. It says, To'avat Hashem lokecha hu. It is a disgusting thing before Hashem. What happens if you have an animal that they served as idol worship, and that animal had a baby? Is the baby also disgusting before Hashem? No. They did a sin with that animal. To'avat Hashem lokecha hu. It. Our sages derive it and not its offspring. That's a nice concept philosophically.
We do have a concept of it's called a bastard in Hebrew.
Yeah, that's a different thing. That deserves its own discussion. We discussed that on Shabbos. Yeah. Pasuk Beis?
Yeah.
Ki yimatze v'kir becha be'achad she'arecha. If it will be found, when it will be found in your midst, in one of your gates, asher Hashem elokecha noten lach, that Hashem your God gives you. And you see the sign, the tam under lach, that's an etnachta. That's always the major pause in a pasuk. Whenever you want to know how to pause in a pasuk, that's the major pause. So when it will be found in your midst, isho isha, a man or a woman, asho yaseh tara b'enei Hashem elokecha lavor b'rito, that will do that which is bad in the eyes of Hashem your God, to transgress God's covenant.
Etnachta is like a speak, right?
It's like a pause, like a like a comma, like a colon, like a semicolon. Lavor Berito explains Rashi, Ashakarat Hashem Itchem Shelo Lavod Avodat Kochavim. This is a reference to the major covenant that God made with us, that we will be His nation, that we will not serve idols.
So we're talking about if you find a person,
You have witnesses.
In one of your cities, you find a person, a man or woman, that's doing idol worship.
Correct. Vayelech, and this person went. Vayavod Elohim Acherim. He served other gods. Vayishtachu lehem, and he bowed to them. Velashemesh or layarech, and to the sun or the moon or lechol tzeva shemayim, or to any one of the armies of the heavens, ashalot tziviti, that I haven't commanded you. Vugad lecha, and you were told, v'shamata, and you listen. V'darashta itev, and you will check it out well. V'ine emet, nachon adavar, and you will come to the conclusion that it is true. What you heard is correct. Ne'esta ha'toiva azot b'Yisrael. This disgraceful act was done among Israel. V'hotzeita et ha'ishahu, and you will take that man out. Or ta'ishahi, or that woman, asher asu t'adavar hara azel sha'arecha, that did this bad things, you'll take them out, yeah, to your gates, you'll take them out to your courts, or you take them out to the gates. We'll have to define what it means to the gates of your city. What does it mean to your gates? We'll see in a minute, Rashi discusses it. Etaish or etaisha, you'll take out this man or woman, uskaltam ba'avanim v'meitu, and you'll stone them with stones, and they will die. Al pi shnayim edim o shlosha edim yumatamet. You must have the testimony of two or three witnesses to execute this dead person. Lo yumat al pi ed echad. He will not be executed based upon the testimony of a single witness. Yad ha'edim tiyeh bo v'rishona la'amito. The hands of the witnesses will be first in executing him. They throw the first major stone. The yad kol ha'am ba'achona, and then the hand of the rest of the nation. And you will clean out the evil from within your midst. Explains Rashi. We said you will check out the testimony and you will verify nachon adavar, that what you've heard is correct. Explains Rashi, nachon mechuvan haidut, the testimony is aligned, meaning you do cross examination. You take each witness to their own room, and you start questioning them. You tell them what time of day was it, what kind of clothing was he wearing. You question them. You check out, are they telling the truth? And then you compare notes, and you see, are they saying true testimony? And you check them out very well. You ask them many details. What color shirt was he wearing? What color pants? Let's say they're off even on such a minuscule detail. That's it, we disqualify testimony. It isn't easy to be a witness in Judaism. I mean, even though the Torah gives us a harsh punishment, there has to be really, really good testimony. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is called, and a warning, so that we'll see still. Votzeita et ha'ish ahu. Ordinarily, yes, there has to be a warning. Votzeita et ha'ish ahu, and you will take out that man, says Rashi. El she'arecha, you take him out to your gates. Hametargem el she'arecha, whoever will translate the words to your gates, litra beit dinach, that means the gates of your courts, to'e, he is in error. Sheken shaninu, for this is what we learned in the Sifri. The Medrash says, el she'arecha, when the verse says, take him out to your gates, ze sha'ar she'avad bo, does it mean that? Okay, does it mean the gates in which he served idol worship? Or does it mean the gates is a reference to the place where he was judged? As we know, often gates is a reference to the courts because the courts used to sit in the city gates. So the Sifri says the following. Ne'emar she'arecha lemata. Later on it says the words she'arecha. Ve'ne'emar she'arecha lemala, and it says the word she'arecha up above. Ma she'arecha amur lemala. Just like it earlier, it said that, what does it say in Sharecha? When you find in your midst, by your gates, a man who served idol worship. So does it mean literally your gates? Does it mean by your courts? When it says your gates over there, it means that's the place where he served, within your gates, in your town. So you see that Sharecha earlier in this context meant in your town. So too the gates over here is a reference to the gates of your city, the place where he served the worship. And therefore you have to translate it, you'll take him out to your gates means likirvayich, to your city. If he was judged in another city, bring him back to his hometown to do the execution.
In his hometown, meaning where he did his worship?
Yeah.
What if he did worship not in his hometown?
I don't know. It would seem to be the place where he worships. That's what the Sifri seems to say.
So he has to be executed where he worships.
Provided it was a Jewish town, yeah. We say if it's a non-Jewish town, then this doesn't apply.
And what if he worshiped in the field, not in the city?
I don't know how we would evaluate that. I would assume it goes by the municipality. I don't think it has to be specifically a city. It has to be that locale. I think so, but I'm not sure.
And also, Ha'ish Ha'u can also mean, it's also Lishon La'ag, right? When it says Ha'u.
Sometimes, over here, Chazal derives something else. Chazal say that Ha'u means in his state of being. Like we sometimes, the who could mean like hove, existent, existential.
And here that means
not in a situation where he wasn't in an ordinary state of being, where he was forced to serve idols, or where he erred, he didn't know this idol worship, someone tricked him. It has to be where he is in a regular state of being. Let's say a person grew up in China. So he thought the way you serve God is by bowing to idols. Later on they say, we warned you, we're witnesses. Well, that doesn't count. He didn't know. It has to be a situation where he's in a regular state of being, where he has his faculties about him, and he knows what's going on, and he knows what's going on. Right. Al pi shnai medim o shlosha edim. The Torah says, based upon the testimony of two witnesses or three witnesses, we perform an execution. So the Gemara questions. Rashi is quoting a Gemara. It's really a Mishnah. If the Torah told us that we would accept the testimony of two witnesses, then why does the Torah add and tell me, or three witnesses? Why does the Torah enumerate three witnesses? Lakish shelosha lishnayim, to compare, to equate three witnesses with two. Mashnayim edut achat, just like when you have two witnesses, they're considered one unit, one testimony. So to three witnesses are also considered one unit of testimony. We have a concept of a dim zomimin, that if witnesses come and say, Mr. X, we saw you Sunday morning performing this sin, we warned you and you transgressed, you deserve this penalty. If witnesses walk in after the courts have ruled, before they execute punishment, And new witnesses walk in and say, at that time you were with us, you first set of witnesses, then if we validate the second set of witnesses, the first pair of witnesses will get the punishment that they wanted to inflict on that person, on that individual. So that's called Edim Zomimim. And we say that they can only become Edim Zomimim if the whole unit of testimony becomes Zomimim. If we can testify about this whole unit, that they were somewhere else at the time that they testified.
They have to be together in it?
I don't know if they have to be together, but they have to both have testimony that they weren't there. Could be one was in France, another was in Spain, but they both weren't in Israel. They both didn't see it at that time.
The Hakasha here, the Hakasha is just like two Edim. It's considered one testimony.
Correct.
So two, three people come and say the same thing, they're also considered one testimony.
Correct.
That's what that
right. And what do I care if it's one testimony or not? That I won't punish them unless the whole unit, all three of them, become Zomimin. We've verified that all three of them.
Let's say two, they all five come and only two.
Only two become
Zomimin.
We will disqualify the testimony, but we won't punish them.
None of them get any punishment.
Correct.
Zomimin?
Correct.
Wow.
Well, they don't, right. Right.
How does that?
We derive it from the Torah.
Because
it's biblical.
Say, you know, two Zomimin come in and they try to, actually, you know, for Zomimin, they're going to start, you know, convincing other witnesses. I don't know.
Well, there are criterion for when they're considered one unit and when not. Meaning,
in order to be to say Edim Zomimim, all the witnesses have to be a Zomimim in that testimony.
All the witnesses that are one testimony. Meaning, let's say a guy walks in the middle of Yankee Stadium, and he shoots someone else, and we have the umpire standing there with the mic, and he says, "Don't do it! It's biblically prohibited." You're going to get the death penalty. And he says, "I don't care." And he pulls the trigger and he shoots the guy. Now you have people on one end of the stadium, they saw it. You have people at the other end of the stadium and they saw it. But they couldn't see one another. And they couldn't see the guy in the middle warning. So then they're two separate entities. The first pair of witnesses come before court and they say, we saw, he was warned, he did it. Second pair of witnesses say, we saw it this time, we were there, we saw and he did it. And the second pair become Edim Zomimim. They're a separate pair. They're a separate entity. Because they didn't see one another. Even though they're witnessing to the same crime at the same time, they only become one unit if they walk into court together and they saw one another.
Okay.
Now, in different laws, we have different laws for how they become one unit. Yeah. Meaning, Edut HaChodesh, when it comes to testifying that to the new moon, so then they don't have to see the moon together. There are different laws as to how they become one unit, depending on what the testimony is. But once they are one unit, in order for them to become Zomimin, and get the punishment, then the Torah here equated two with three. Okay.